JEY。
Tonight, boy, there's a lot to get to. Sad story, sad story out of Germany. I blogged about it today at AmericaTonight.net. But in Germany, a man goes onto a bus. Two airmen end up being killed. Two others wounded. A bus driver killed and another passenger killed as well. Apparently, he was yelling, Allah Akbar. There are a lot of comments about that. You think of all the troops in Germany that we have stationed there and that get moved around. Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway, and we talk to Talk Radio News. Always pleased to have Ellen Ratner with us. Ellen, what was the reaction in Washington to what happened in Germany?
Well, the president was obviously very moved and also upset about this. He actually came into the press room, something that he doesn't do that frequently, and made a statement about this and talked about how much jeopardy, you know, all of our troops are in. We think that they're only in jeopardy if they're in Afghanistan or Iraq or something, but no, American troops can be targeted. Now, juxtapose, this is very interesting because the president was talking about this, and Gerald Paulus, who's a member of Congress from Colorado, Democrat, actually, said when he was talking about the budget yesterday that the budget is very bloated in terms of the amount of troops that we have in Germany and in Europe. And, of course, it comes the question really on both sides. Do we have enough troops there? Is it too many troops? Or because we have so many troops there, are we being targeted? Nobody really knows the answer to that unless they do a very careful analysis. And that certainly is the question that's up for grabs.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great looking at what is it that we need? More boots on the ground, less there in Germany. Big deal with the Supreme Court deciding on whether former Attorney General, General Ashcroft, can be sued. This was a huge story that's been brewing and was kind of on the back burner. What's the latest on that?
Well, it's interesting because a lower court said he could be sued. This was a 2-1 decision. This was a kid who was actually a American, raised Christian kid, decided to convert to Islam, was on his way to Saudi Arabia where he had gotten a scholarship, taken off the plane, strip searched, in prison, interrogated, all this kind of thing. And the question is whether, one, he was really needed as a material witness, was the attorney general responsible, et cetera, and whether the attorney general can actually be sued, former attorney general. And that's what the court was taking a look at. But, of course, there was a unanimous decision. However, Elena Kagan not taking place because she was working for the government at the time the case initially came up. But this whole case about the Westboro Baptist Church picketing a funeral with the God Hates Fag sign and whether that was an exercise of free speech. And the Supreme Court, not surprisingly, found that it was an exercise of free speech.
Yeah, I agree with you, not surprisingly. Okay, how about Libya and what's happening there? Because Gaddafi's still digging his heels in.
And it's interesting, both Hillary Clinton and the Defense Secretary Gates were at Congress today. They appeared to be saying two separate different things. With Gates saying basically, you know, if we did a no-fly zone over there, it would be a provocative act towards Libya, not an act of war, but a provocative act. And Hillary Clinton saying, you know, nothing is off the table. Jay Carney was asked about that, and he said the two statements were actually not different statements. They were both saying the same thing. Didn't appear that way to the rest of the press, but they were saying the same thing, that nothing was off the table from the White House's perspective. And not only that action, but other actions were going to be looked at as well.
All right, very good. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News, thanks so much, as always, for popping on ATN. And so there we kind of kicked it around with Ellen on everything that was happening inside the Beltway, including Libya and the reaction to what was going on with Gaddafi, who is just vowing to stay there to be the last man standing if need be. And you've got a lot of the rebels fleeing the Gaddafi forces after some of the battles that are taking place near and around Tripoli. Boy, all it would take is one swift kick and the magic wand, meaning the U.S. military and all of that, would be over. But I don't see that happening. The budget fight now is on ice because of what I'm going to call the two-week compromise. But notice I say two-week compromise. By my calculation, that means March 18th. So here's the deal. The Republicans maybe win the first go-around. We'll say they win the first go-around because they're pushing to shrink spending, and they're taking the big axe out and trying to cut as much as possible. So it's $4 billion that's basically being pushed around. When you ultimately add up what the deficit is, this is a mere drop in the bucket. It just sounds like such a big number, though. But it ultimately isn't really that big of a number. So far, there doesn't appear to be a lot of compromise on much else. The Senate cleared the temporary spending measure by 91-9, because remember, this had just gone through the House and it was kicked over to the Senate on Wednesday. It was inevitable that this was going to happen. There was a big bipartisan vote on Tuesday through the House. Now it clears the Senate. Obama signed it Wednesday afternoon, so bada bing, it's in. It was rejected last week. This time around, it goes through. But I'll go back to what I originally said. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And do you think there's going to be a different outcome at the end of the 2 weeks? And I'd say, no, I'd say there's not a very good chance of that. They're going to have to muscle through much more of this bill when you're talking about the amount of money, the amount of money that needs to be cleared away. Too much money. And a vast disagreement over where to swack. And this is happening across the country in almost every single state on a grander scale, I guess, in the individual states, but then ultimately all roads leading through the federal government. So in the 18th, we could be singing the same tune. We could be singing or saying the same tune if you don't want to sing it. What budget? What are you talking about? What budget are we talking about? What's being cut? I just don't want to keep going through the same thing, you know? And you look at the campaign promises, and so far, things aren't going well. Unemployment is up over 8%. You look at the deficit, it has not been cut in half. And you look at some other things that were part of the agenda, including Guantanamo, which we're going to talk about, Gitmo, and the conditions at Gitmo with Jeff Atticott when he joins us at the bottom of the hour here on ATN to talk about not only Gitmo, but to talk about this horrific situation in Germany that we were just mentioning with Ellen, and the fact that you have two airmen who were killed and a couple others wounded and some civilians as well, thanks to a madman who gets on a bus and decides to start shooting. What initially started that, it sounded like there was some altercation before he got on the bus, and then there's some dispute as to what he was yelling and what was going on. But it still brings up the question as to how many soldiers do we need to have in Germany. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we've only just begun. We're going to scratch the surface.
You really can lose weight while you're sleeping. Guaranteed. AffinityDiet.com introduces Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet. Great tasting Lose and Snooze from AffinityDiet.com is the first step in our guaranteed weight loss system. Lose and Snooze will help your body get a deep restorative sleep without the harmful side effects of pharmaceutical drugs. And during deep natural sleep, your body starts to shed unwanted pounds, build lean muscle, and lose inches. Add AffinityDiet.com's One Day Diet waivers and your metabolism keeps going with all the vitamins and minerals you need with no real rebound effect. But don't worry, you're never more than 24 hours from your favorite foods. Learn more about Lose and Snooze and the One Day Diet at AffinityDiet.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y Diet.com, or call toll-free 855-663-3438. That's 855-663-3438. Finally, a diet that succeeds where others have failed. From AffinityDiet.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with the look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's LeSig.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's LeSig.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
And put some serious dents in it as we drill down. Here's one of the top headlines on the day. You know, everything that's going on in Wisconsin, still the dust has not settled there. Nothing has happened at this point. There's a lot of conversation, a lot of people in the hallways still at the Capitol and missing Democrats. In Ohio, the Senate passed a bill to do what Wisconsin's governor is trying to do, the bargaining rights of the public workers in Ohio, boom, reduced, and strikes actually even banned under this bill that just barely passed by the state Senate on Wednesday. But here's the key, it passed. It's, of course, a Republican measure. And it's about that whole collective rights process, that whole thing that was kicked up in Wisconsin. How many, though, affected? 350,000 teachers, their firefighters, police, and other public employees. You know what the vote was? 17-16. Six Republicans sided with the Democrats against it. And you had, I mean, I heard it was crazy. You had firemen and teachers screaming at the top of their lungs. They probably can't speak
at this point, but they were all screaming shame in pretty much the chamber as that legislation went and was ultimately approved. As it moves on, it should get enough support at this point. It's very, very close to Wisconsin in what has kicked off an incredible national debate on collective bargaining rights, on unions. So this bill in Ohio, that's it, baby. Forget the strikes. You're not getting the strikes. And if you do, you got penalties. You got to pay fines, whatever, for people who don't pay attention. Because they basically would have penalties for people who participate in any kind of a walkout. And unionized workers could negotiate wages and hours and work conditions and that kind of stuff, but not the big ones when it comes to the money, meaning health care, sick time, pension benefits. That's the big three, sick time, health care, pension benefits. So it does away with automatic pay raises and future wage increases on merit, because, you know, you get those merit raises that automatically kick in a police department and a firehouse that's not a volunteer firehouse. That happens there a lot. And then there's a whole other thing, sidebar to this, that it would set up, whatever, arbitration and how to resolve contract disputes and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It's a great balancing act, I think. It's a balancing act that tilts the balance of power now back toward the management, where it had gone in 180 degrees in a different direction, and doesn't give much back to the employees. I mean, really, on the surface, if you look at it, it's really flipped. Imagine if you were someone new to this, I'm going to call it game. You're a rookie cop, and you've been, I don't know, on the job for 2 years or something, and you are looking at that, you've got a family, or you're starting a family, you're looking at the pension, you're looking at the sick time that's kicked in, the health care, all that stuff, boom, that's all down the drain. Your career, your benefits, all that stuff looks a lot different. And the one thing, it does have to happen, because this is the problem with these budgets. It's the taxpayers and then these government unions that are so out of whack. And when there's a lot of this chanting and upset teachers and firemen and all that stuff, I get that, like I said, because, boy, it handed down to generations. It's not going to be handed down as this passes through these hurdles in the Senate and the House in Ohio. But it's good for the taxpayer who was getting slammed. And the problem is it goes all the way back to the whole mortgage crisis, and people don't understand that part of what ails this country. I mean, they get it when someone says, oh, yeah, the mortgage, oh, yeah, 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 all the foreclosures, all that. Like, sure, sure, no. It's all the mortgages that were handed and sold over and over again, all that subprime nonsense, that the pensions were backed by, that were bought up, and that's what's tanked. Now, really, a lot of the collective bargaining rights for these unions who were able to skate before that, or they were in place and it wasn't something that was being considered, that's where the blame lies. If you want to put blame in a certain direction, nobody talks about that. But clearly you can trace it all the way back to that. Bogus decisions on the pensions. Crippling the resources. Crippling. Big time. And you had a senator that was quoted as saying, I've read it somewhere, Senator Brown, who said that the bill pretty much in Ohio just puts a muzzle on the face of all the public employees. Just does that. So the other thing about the public employees is not all of them are union members. It depends on the state. And if we're specifically talking about Ohio, not so much. There is a chunk that are, but there's another chunk that aren't members of the union. So this is a huge adjustment, a huge adjustment for the people who rely on the unions to do all the things I mentioned, the wage increases, all that sort of stuff. So the other thought is, will the workers be turned into basically panhandlers before city councils and everybody else who immediately oversees them? Because that's what could happen. They're going to have to beg for money and raises and all that stuff. Welcome to the club, is what some people would say. Sadly, welcome to the club. But look where the blame really should go. And it's, for some reason, it's not talked about. I mean, I have scoured papers and financial papers come up with this, and I am not reading this anywhere. And that's what the problem was. But it doesn't matter. We're looking in our rearview mirror. It doesn't matter what happened, because we have to move forward. We have to move forward from that. I talked about Gaddafi at the top of the show and what was happening here, and the fact that 41 years, the man is not going to slip out the back door. It's pretty clear that's not happening. So I think what Gaddafi is doing is pulling in anyone and everybody who owes him one. And there was a wicked battle over a key oil port on Wednesday. A lot of scrambling. And you actually had the rebels who had to back away like cockroaches into the corners. They were losing. They were getting shelled. And the airstrike just killed them. So they had to back off. And what I'm talking about when I say an oil port, we're talking about a strategically placed oil facility. So what does that all mean? 460 miles east of Tripoli. But it also shows how difficult it is for Gaddafi to control what's happening around Libya, and also the militiamen, the mercenaries, the military units that have been part of what's happened since February 17th in that country. And once again, he is warning the U.S. specifically and other Westerners of any kind of intervention, because what he's saying is, and this is totally aimed at the U.S., you want to bring it, but you're going to look at another Vietnam. Any foreign troops who come into this country, he said, this is a quote, will be entering hell, and they're going to drown in blood. We're going to get thoughts about Gaddafi, Libya, the Middle East, including Pakistan and whatnot, and certainly what happened in Germany. In our conversation with Jeff Atticott, a terrorism expert, coming up around the bend here on ATN.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops of available only at AlkaVision.com. Combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793, 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Who is Sam Andy? Sam Andy Foods is life insurance in a can. Life insurance you can eat. Sam Andy Foods has been serving loyal customers worldwide for over 50 years. Why so long? Simple. Sam Andy Foods have perfected the taste and quality of low-moisture foods. Foods that last 15 to 25 years. And that's made us an industry leader among families, sportsmen, outdoorsmen, churches, schools, people living in remote areas, U.S. troops in wartime, and many others. Sam Andy is America's leading supplier of over 100 high-quality, low-moisture products and everything you need to survive in any emergency. Visit SamAndy.com today for your free full-color catalog and free trial subscription to the Survival Times newsletter. That's SamAndy.com. Just like it sounds, SamAndy.com. Or call toll-free 1-888-331-0358. Your one-stop shop for everything your family needs to prepare for any emergency. Sam Andy Foods. Life insurance in a can.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, and, you know, we're talking about what happened in Germany, just how outrageous this is. Two U.S. airmen killed in a German airport shooting, and there were two others wounded as well, bus driver gunned down and killed, and a passenger. And you think of the soldiers that we have coming in and out of Germany, 50,000, I'm told, is the number at any one point. In fact, on the Hill, they were discussing to try to decide how many military folks we needed in Germany, if we should have less or we should have more. And this was really because of a budget issue and was way before what happened here today, to sadly, in Germany. So right at the get-go of this whole thing, we've got Jeff Atticott, our favorite terrorism expert. He's just so knowledgeable, and we're always pleased to welcome him to the show. Jeff, your reaction when you heard that deal in Germany?
Well, yeah, I spent almost 3 years in Berlin when I was in the military, so it's very tragic. And the gunman apparently is from Kosovo, probably is a Muslim, non-German citizen, and we don't know exactly what his motivation was at this time. The Germans are kind of being kind of hush hush about what happened, whether it was just a private altercation or what the motive of this individual. So it's tragic, and I think it does put one of the things on the table is how many soldiers should we have in Germany? Mm. I've always been a proponent that we need to have a smaller presence in Europe, because for too long we have been providing the military muscle and protection for a lot of European countries. They've been able to engage in all their socialistic programs because they haven't had to build up their own military. They can't even take care of Bosnia, which is in their own backyard. So, yeah, I think we need to let these democracies stand up and pay for their own defense.
And smaller would also mean that our military guys and women would be less of a target, I would assume, right?
Yeah, we'd have less opportunity for people to do them harm. But at the end of the day, these people, they have to be weaned off the American tax dollar. We've been there for over 60 years now. That's enough. We need to allow them to restructure, reestablish their own military under a democratic system. Because, if we're going to provide it for them, obviously they're going to take all we can give them.
Yeah. How about, I'm going to jump to Libya here, as we see that in the Middle East, another explosion. When I say explosion, we've already done the Tunisia thing and watched what happened in Egypt, and now Libya, especially with the people being slaughtered and whatnot. The idea that should we or should we not have a military op there, what do you think?
Well, I guess that Nobel Peace Prize that our president got is not working out too well, is it?
No.
We've had countries breaking out with violence and one thing after the other. The president has vacillated. When the Iranians rose up, he refused to get on the side of the people that were trying to throw out those brutal dictators. And with the Gaddafi incident, he's way too late to do anything. We need to do more than just stand there and watch the train wreck. And in many degrees, it is a train wreck, but we can do such positive things as recognize the provisional government, establish a unilateral no-fly zone, because if you're waiting on the UN, you've got a long wait.
Yeah, no kidding. Well put. I'm going to skip around here because we haven't talked to you in a while. How about these new charges for that WikiLeaks suspect? I think it's 22 extra charges that they're lopping on private Bradley Manning. What do you think of that? Is that fair or foul?
No, that's fair. This guy has done tremendous harm to national security. The other people that are not being charged, although, the administration was particularly outraged when the cables were leaked about the State Department. They really didn't care too much when the earlier cables leaked information about the military, but, don't talk about Hillary Clinton or, something like that. That's really upsetting. So, we've got to make an example out of this individual because there's a lot of folks out there that have or can get access to sensitive information through cybersecurity breaches. And this guy has to be an example. We've got to send a deterrent signal to people that are out there and think they want to engage in this type of activity.
Yeah. You're going to go to Washington and brief a congressional subcommittee on the conditions in Guantanamo. What are you going to tell them?
Well, yeah, the subcommittee is an oversight subcommittee. They're looking at Guantanamo Bay. They're looking at the detainee issues. They're trying to do some oversight because, as you know, this president has had a schizophrenic policy towards many aspects of the war on terror, with Guantanamo Bay being one of them. As we all know, the first couple of days in office, I'm going to close Gitmo within a year. It's been well over 2 years. It's not going to close, which is the good news. I'm going to provide my opinion about domestic terrorism and how the president cannot distinguish between unlawful enemy combatants, which we use the law of war against, and just the jihadists that are not members of al-Qaeda, but they're infected with the virus of al-Qaeda. Since the president's taken office, we've had 23 jihadi attacks or attempted attacks on the United States, and in all the other periods since 9/11 until President Obama took office, we only had 21. So the threat is growing, and we need to address it. We need to do a better job of deciding how we're going to apply the rule of law to enemy combatants versus jihadists.
Yeah, there you go. And when you talk about jihadists, why is there no push on Pakistan? What's going on with Pakistan?
Yeah, well, the Pakistanis are, they're playing us from both sides. They love to get our billions of dollars. But on the other hand, they are overflowing with radical Islamic extremists throughout the country. They have their own geopolitical interests and concerns. At the end of the day, the fact that's staring everybody in the face, except for our leadership, is that al-Qaeda has relocated and reconstituted in western Pakistan. What are we going to do about it? And these little drone strikes here and there is not the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. A sad thing happened between the time we last talked to you, and lots of sad things are happening along the border, but the fact that the young immigration agent who was traveling with another friend of his who was also an agent. You know the story. They were gunned down by, it looks like, members of the cartel, and here they are diplomats, and it's supposed to be hands-off, and we have this policy, apparently, from the 90s where our guys aren't armed. I think they should change that. Do you think they should be able to carry a weapon when they're in these thorny situations across the border?
Well, officially, they're not armed, but I can tell you that we do have armored vehicles, and we do have agents down there that are armed. We just, because of the sensitivities with the Mexican government, will never admit that. The big problem is that these guys got out of their armored vehicle, at least opened the door or something, and that's a mistake. We'll probably have to have convoys now instead of single vehicles. It's a war zone down there, and it's a very dangerous situation. But the Mexican government is not doing what they have to do. They have to rely on their military, as they did it, as the Peruvians did, as the Colombians did, to go after these cartels and break them up. That's the bottom line solution. And they have to extend, I guess they have to request more military assistance from the United States in order to help them do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Then they should do that. How about the also the problems that we're having? We saw that the FBI unraveled this plot of another homegrown terrorist who, among the things this chemistry major wanted to do was go after the former president Bush, George W. Bush, and was amassing the chemicals to be able to do that, to put together a weapon. And luckily they interceded and that whole thing was stopped. But once again, he was a Saudi, he was a student, and we have the visa issue. When are they going to address that? Don't you think this is one of the key ways or portals that people, a possible terrorist, could get in?
Oh, absolutely. He is the 23rd plot and counting right here in Lubbock, Texas. He obviously formed this idea for jihad before he came here, so not a very good screening job. But, of course, we've had these issues in the past when Ali Muttalib, the Nigerian, his dad went to the U.S. State Department embassy in Nigeria and said, hey, my son's a terrorist. Don't let him in the country. And, oh, no problem, we'll let him in anyway. We do a horrible job at screening individuals that come into this country, and we really need to clamp down on the number of individuals we allow into the country. There's really no reason that we should allow thousands and tens of thousands of people to come in here when we know that many of them will simply ditch and become illegal aliens here amongst us.
Yeah, boy, absolutely, no kidding. And we want to mention, too, St. Mary's, because, of course, you got the ball really rolling with that, the type of terrorism law that you're teaching or that's being taught there. How far along has that program come? I've always been curious about that. We've never had that discussion.
Well, we have a $700,000 facility, so we just don't exist in cyberspace. And we're doing a variety of things, from Supreme Court amicus curiae briefs. We've done two of those. We've testified before the Senate, worked in Guantanamo Bay, worked with other governments from Egypt to Israel to Colombia, constantly engaging in these types of debates. We've been on the defense team for several soldiers that have been wrongfully accused of murder. All of them have been acquitted. So we're quite active in a variety of ways, holding conferences on cyber, on biological issues, and talking about the issues. The piracy issue, of course. We had four Americans slaughtered just last week, and our president, does nothing. What we need to do is to get a aircraft carrier, go off the coast of Somalia. We know where the mother pirate ships are. We know where the ports are that the infrastructure is located, and simply blow them out of the water. If we did that and then sail those ships over to Libya, we wouldn't have to fire a shot at Libya. They would get the message real quick. But our president refuses to use our military might as any logical person would do. You kill Americans, and there has to be a price to pay.
Absolutely, to send the message that you cannot get away with this. I agree with you 100%. Interesting stuff. Thanks so much once again, terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. We appreciate your time.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10 or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Out there, wherever it is you are listening to America Tonight, whether you're outside of the country or inside the country, would you visit Mexico? I spent time in Cabo San Lucas and Juarez and Mexico City and Tijuana, deep in the interior, in the Mexican Riviera. In fact, I used to go to Mexico a lot. I speak a little bit of Spanish. I say más y menos or así y así. It depends on the time of day, how good my Spanish is. But I enjoyed my trips to Mexico. It was cheap. It was fun. It was close. And now I wouldn't make that trip to Mexico. It is spring break time almost. College students love to go across the border. And you look at what's happening. I mean, just the other day, police in Arizona tied a beheading to a Mexican drug cartel, a head that was found in Arizona because the person owed the cartel money. And they were beheaded in Phoenix, Arizona. How frightening is that, right? If you go
to the State Department's website, you see warnings about Mexico, not to travel and to be careful and all that sort of stuff. Now, if you talk to travel agents, if right now we were to call up a travel agent, they'd say, oh, that's some of that's just so exaggerated. The risks aren't that bad. I think it'd be fine. You know, just be smart about what you're doing. You know, be smart. Be smart after you're a college student, after you've had 15 shots of tequila. Be smart about what you're doing. So in Acapulco, you've got drug violence way, 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 way up, just on the rise. And what our State Department website would say is you should be vigilant in your personal safety. Be vigilant. And then Cancun and Playa del Carmen, which is a great place to go, and Cozumel, they've had lots of problems with crime lately. Mostly it involves something that's alcohol-fueled. So they tell you to travel in pairs or groups and just to be aware of your surroundings and take general precautions. In other words, those eyes in the back of your head, make sure you have them. Matamoros, this is one place I would absolutely not go. You have to be very alert because guess what? There is drug violence raging right around you. So don't do anything at night. If you're doing anything, just do it during the day, but I wouldn't make that trip. Mazatlan, it's a great beach area. Same thing. You want to go to Mazatlan, look at the girls in the bikinis, lay out, have a few cocktails, or take your kids. I wouldn't take kids there. They say you have to use common sense and exercise normal precautions. If we move to Nogales, Sonora, most of the accidents at spring break are caused by drunk drivers, and you have unpaved roads, and that's dangerous, and they say a little bit of crime. In Tijuana, of course, that is a very, very busy intersection. I'm going to call it intersection, border crossing, between Mexico and the U.S. And then you have Rosarita and Ensenada, and there's a lot of tourists that go there. And they still have the same problem. They have people smashed on the streets there. Tijuana actually might be a little bit safer than some of the other entry points that link the U.S. and Mexico. Juarez, just done deal, I wouldn't go there. If you're in El Paso, I wouldn't make that cross across that bridge to save my life now at this point. And I used to go almost every day across that bridge, no way. There's just too much violence, and I think it wouldn't matter. I don't necessarily believe an American tourist during the day, if they went over, that somebody would say, well, let's just take, we're just going to slaughter them, we're just going to grab whatever we can, and hey, we'll just bang them on the head or do whatever. I don't necessarily think that. I just think it's too dangerous that you could get in the middle of something, because that's what seems to happen. Unless you work for the government, then forget it. You've got a target on your back. Whatever it is you do for the government, there's just no way I would make that trek. So the answer becomes, would you go to Mexico and say, ah, screw that. You know what? They always talk about places. It's dangerous. It's dangerous to go here. I could go to see the pyramids right now really cheaply because not a lot of people are going to Egypt. Would you make the trip there? Probably not, especially going into dipping into the Middle East right now. But Mexico, with the drug cartels and how insane the violence has gotten and the attitude, I would absolutely not to go to any of the border cities. But I still think you're going to have a lot of spring breakers do it anyway. Whether it's Puerto Vallarta, Mazatlan, whatever it might be. Mostly it's the Cozumel, Cancun crowd. Because let's face it, the trips are cheap. It's fun in the sun. And you can go to an all-inclusive place, drink and eat as much as you want. And that's a big attraction. A big, big attraction. In fact, we've already got a couple of hits here. I got two. Through the email. Remember, all roads lead to Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, and chat through AmericaTonight.net. And here's one from Andy P. No way, Mexico. Nada. Clever. Nada in big letters. So he agrees with me. Didn't really emphasize much there. Here's one from Grego. Hey America, tonight, I used to go to Mexico every single year from the time I was about 21. So I didn't do it during college. I did it when I got out of college. You're right. The temptations with the beaches and the booze and the broads were certainly there. It was fun. I have great memories, but I think I would sit this one out. And I agree, Greco. I would sit this one out for now. Speaking of sitting it out, as we move from would you go to Mexico, despite all the State Department warnings that are all pretty similar, have eyes in the back of your head, travel in pairs, and don't go out at night. From the follow-up file, because we talked about this a ton, guess what the Navy did? They pulled 10 of their destroyers after, they pulled 10 of their personnel from destroyers after the trouble they had with a commander. Remember the USS Stout. What happened there was the commander and one aide, and I guess there was about eight sailors, were pulled from the ship in the Mediterranean. And it's being termed as misbehavior by the crew in overseas ports. And what did it include? Booze. Drunk and disorderly conduct. So the U.S. 6th Fleet said that Nathan Borchers, who was the commander, was relieved from the Stout. And he had taken command of that ship back in December. But what they do in the Navy is if they decide they lose confidence in you, they bail you off of your destroyer, and that's what happened. They said it was unprofessional behavior by the crew, fraternization. I love that word. That's such a Navy word, isn't it? Or military word. Fraternization. Fraternization, orders violations, and just disregard for naval standards, period. We've heard this a few times. So they're done. The U.S. 6th Fleet, by the way, is based in Naples, Italy. Did you know that? So the port calls involved that whole Liberty thing that happens with sailors. And it was Liberty leave for sailors in Israel, in Augusta Bay in Sicily, and Sata Bay in the Greek island of Crete. And they didn't talk about the specifics of it. And there weren't actually complaints by any of the areas that I just mentioned where they were obviously partying it up. But I think part of the problem is, and these sailors may even be a victim of this, the problems of the Stout are because of, I think, command changes in the Navy. Because of what happened in January, if you remember, the commander of the USS Enterprise was booted, was relieved because of those videos that were made public, and it was very, the Navy hates that. And, I mean, any of the military, they don't want to be exposed or they don't want to be made a mockery of. And that's what happened after some of these videos that were pushed to the public showed that, you know, that he had showed to thousands of sailors on the USS Enterprise in 2006 and 2007. So the Navy's had a lot of shakeups lately. The USS Ashland, they had to relieve a commander. So are we keeping score? You know that old song? What was it? The Village People in the Navy? Might be a good time to apply for some gigs in the Navy. You could move up the ranks pretty fast.